Whether you drive a car,
need a car,
or just occasionally bum a ride with friends,
you've come to the right place.
Join Jill and Tom as they break down everything that's going on in the auto world.
New car reviews,
shopping tips,
driving green,
electric cars,
classic cars,
and plenty of great guests.
This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, this is the Car Stuff Podcast. I am Tom Appel. Thanks for joining us today. When you get a chance, when you have a moment, do me a favor, check us out at consumerguide.com. If you're car shopping, check out our 2025 Best Buy list. Helpful stuff if you're looking for a new car or truck. Plus, you can listen to back episodes of the podcast right there on our homepage. Though you should do what? Subscribe.
Got it.
People should subscribe.
Okay.
And leave us comments. Nice comments.
Only nice comments.
That last guy that you were so upset about said nice things about the podcast, but then only gave us 4 stars.
Well, because he doesn't like me.
That hurts.
Although I will say, we've been talking about the fact that he didn't like my voice. I've had several people chime in on my Facebook page. I like your voice.
There you go. They feel sorry for you.
Well, that's probably true.
Yeah. I don't.
Like my voice or feel sorry for me?
Either.
Got it.
Either. That voice that we're discussing. Jill Simonello, Managing Editor of Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk, North American Car of the Year Juror and Freelancer. Hey, Jill.
Hey.
We are flying blind. I lost my notes.
Well, this could be interesting.
Actually, I didn't lose them. They're
you
sitting on my printer
at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about that. Printing out stuff at home, like $93 a page. You don't want to waste stuff you printed at home because then you have to order ink cartridges.
Yeah.
I hate saying ink. Ink cartridges.
Okay.
Are expensive. They don't last long. The paper doesn't last long. Also, our printer's got the tiniest little paper well. Like, it holds like 20 sheets of paper.
Ew.
So I'm constantly getting up to reload it. And it's like 3 rooms away from my office.
Hence, you forgot your stuff.
I did.
Yeah.
But that's okay. There's a lot to talk about here today. How are you?
Good.
Nice weather today? We don't have to talk about this car today, but I just want to touch on it because we've talked about it in the past. I'm in the Lincoln Nautilus.
Okay.
Lincoln's redesigned, imported from China, so we may not see these if things go horribly wrong.
After the next month, right?
Yeah, and things are going horribly wrong, so we may not see these for much longer, but really beautifully executed vehicle. Mm-hmm. And Lincoln's mission on Earth is very interesting. It's a little bit Lexus-like.
Yeah.
It's all about comfort and refinement, and they're kind of nailing it.
Yeah, they are.
But I had 2 points. I'm driving the Black Label, which is an interesting trim level because it's very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't bring much in the way of content. It brings stuff in the way of services attached to ownership of the vehicle.
The concierge.
Yeah, they'll pick you up. They'll drop you off. You get preferential line, you know, places in line for service and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Weird stuff. And I don't know. They keep doing it. They've been doing it for years now.
Mm.
I don't know what the take rate is on that, but it's a very interesting thing. And I think that I'm not a luxury customer, so I don't know what the value of that is.
Right.
But people must be buying it because they're still doing it. Also, this car is silver on the outside. Open the doors. Beautiful burnt red leather upholstery.
Yeah.
It's really cool looking. Like old school German.
Yeah.
Digging it.
Yeah. No, I love the Nautilus. I have no bad things to say.
Yeah. I have one weird thing to say.
Okay.
And this would only be a thing to me, maybe to you.
Okay.
But people newer to driving or younger who don't care, it sounds like a 2-liter engine. Like, this is the thing you would expect to have a big beefy V6, maybe even a small V8 in the old school days, and it doesn't. But the power delivery is there.
Yeah.
It just kind of sounds a little bit whiny.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's quick.
Okay.
All right. That's all I got there. We have Tesla sales numbers.
Yes.
Finally,
well,
for January.
Tesla registration numbers.
Yes. Thank you. Exactly. We have registration numbers. They come by, was it our S&P Global?
Okay.
This will be S&P Global Mobility put these numbers out first. And here's the deal. Tesla sales are indeed down in January. And at first, when I say the number, you're not going to think they're down a lot unless you've seen the numbers.
Is it down year over year or just month?
January over January.
Okay.
Yes, year over year.
Okay.
Down 11%, which doesn't sound like a big, big hit. Mm. It's a big deal in the auto business.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. All of America down 14%. I'm sorry, up 14% for EVs. So Tesla down 11, America up 14. But here's the big number.
Hmm.
This is because Tesla still has some big market share.
Mm-hmm.
If you take Tesla out of the equation, EV sales are up 44% in January. So, ooh. Yeah, things are going the wrong way.
Ouch.
Now, a lot of that is people rushing out to buy an EV because they're worried that the tax credit's going to go away.
Which they're probably not wrong.
People should be worried that the tax credits are going away. I don't know where that bill is at, but a bill was introduced.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Congress. I don't know where it's at. I haven't heard anything lately, but that may go away.
Yep.
The only reason it wouldn't go away is if Elon Musk decides that he needs it.
Right.
And he may.
He may.
Because things get worse for Tesla.
Yeah.
You've probably seen the story that came up over the weekend, and it's bad news for Tesla, and it's embarrassing, but body parts are flying off the car on the highway.
Ugh.
So there's a 9-foot trim piece that starts at the hood, goes up around the doors.
Are you talking about Cybertruck?
Cybertruck, yes. Okay. Did I not say that? I'm sorry. Cybertruck.
If you said it, I missed it.
No. And people are kind of misinterpreting what's happening here, but body parts are flying off the car. Also, the grill, which isn't a grill, there's no slots in it,
mm-hmm.
but what would normally be the grill, also falling off the car. So people are making fun of Tesla for using adhesives to attach these things to the car. But in fact, industrial adhesives have been around for a long, long time. And I think Honda uses it for the roof of the Accord, for example. So it's not the adhesives being used, it's that they're being used probably wrong. So that's a little embarrassing.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's so much I could say to that, and I'm just not gonna.
Yeah, so that's that story. What has happened as a result of this, according to message boards, Tesla hasn't commented publicly on this, but according to message boards, people in line for a Cybertruck are having their orders canceled. I guess until Tesla fixes this, but we don't know.
Right.
They've just been told that their orders have been canceled.
I'm surprised there are people who are still in line for a Cybertruck.
I'm sure yes, it is surprising.
There's a
market for everything, but yes, it's still surprising.
There is, but just a line, people in line. That's the thing that's getting me.
I don't know exactly what the draw of the Cybertruck is, apart from the fact that it's so in your face and obnoxious.
Well, it's just different.
But if it's kind of the audience that used to buy 1500 series pickups and jack them up, those guys actually expect off-road capability.
That would be true. That would be true. And there really isn't.
And those trucks, and all those trucks are really, really good at that when properly mm-hmm. equipped. So,
yeah.
And if they were even crazier and they do F-250s and have the big diesels, they also expect them to be able to tow and not have the rear bumper be ripped off. So,
or have their fingers cut off when the rear hatch shuts. Yeah.
I want to stop talking about Tesla now, but there is a video right now of someone stress testing the hitch of a Cybertruck, and it ends very badly, well below 11,000 pounds, which is the claimed tow rating.
Got it.
Interestingly, I just saw that the tow rating for the Chevy Silverado EV
mm-hmm.
is only like 7,000 or 8,000 pounds. So their lawyers got to them first.
Well, you know, I mean, I feel like the Ford F-150 Lightning is only 9,000 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, an EV can just tow less because when you think about the weight of the battery and the weight of the parts and the vehicle itself is like twice as much.
Also, if you're talking about a half-ton vehicle, and the Ford F-150 might actually weigh more like a three-quarter ton than a half-ton vehicle,
mm-hmm.
but the capacities don't need to be that high. You shouldn't tow 10,000 pounds with a half-ton pickup. You know, you should be safe and just step up to a bigger vehicle.
That is correct.
But anyway, that's that stuff.
Yeah.
So that's that story. I had other stuff, but I lost my notes.
Okay.
There was one other story. I'll get to it when I come to it.
Well, yeah, I was trying to think. Like, I was listening to the Daily Drive on my way here.
Uh-huh.
They were talking about Foxconn, you know, potentially contributing to Japanese automakers for EVs, but they wouldn't say which two.
This was not in my notes, but we do know that Nissan and Honda are not playing nice anymore.
No.
And we talked about why.
Right.
Honda wanted to be the boss of Nissan, and Nissan said, "You're not the boss of me."
Exactly.
And Honda said, "We're not negotiating anymore unless you guys unload your CEO,"
mm-hmm.
and the CEO has stepped aside.
Right.
So, interestingly, a Mexican national is going to be the new CEO of Nissan. And generally, even still, you don't see that many non-Japanese guys end up heading Japanese companies. So this is a big deal.
Yeah.
But they're going to go back to the negotiating table. Plus, a thing I don't think we all knew about, but there were a lot of small deals where mm-hmm. Nissan and Honda were working together. They're going to go back to those. So the deal isn't completely dead.
Okay.
They've got these co-development things going on like that. But Foxconn,
mm-hmm.
the company that totally ripped off the state of Wisconsin, or maybe I should put that differently. I don't know.
Maybe.
But that's what they did.
Okay.
And then failed to help a lot of people when they bought the Lordstown, Ohio plant from General Motors. And they were going to help, what was the EV company, the EV truck company?
It was called Lordstown, yeah.
Yeah, Lordstown Motors. And Work Truck was related to that, which was another EV company. And that all fell apart because of some confusion about who's paying for what.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know about Foxconn.
I know. I don't know.
But Foxconn, not Chinese, they're Taiwanese.
Okay.
Just an important distinction there.
Yeah. But I thought that was like an interesting little blip on the Daily Drive.
And Foxconn famously builds iPhones.
Yes.
So that's why they have the money they have.
Yes.
They're a big deal in manufacturing. But they have, I don't think they make a sellable EV yet, though they claim to have EV architecture.
Right.
Mm. Weird stuff. All right, so we've gone from electric vehicles and expensive electric vehicles to something very normal.
Yes.
Minivans.
Yes, very, very normal.
The 2025 Toyota Sienna has been updated. New cabin.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot else that's new. 6 trim levels, but it is still out there. There are only 4 minivans.
Yeah.
And they all sell reasonably well. But the Chrysler wildly outsells. I think it's the Chrysler, it's the Honda Odyssey, and then it's the Sienna, and then it's the Kia Carnival.
Okay.
But the Kia Carnival's in the game.
Yep.
But you recently drove the Sienna.
Yep, I'm in it right now.
Oh, are you?
Yep.
Okay, what trim level are you driving?
I have the Woodland Edition.
Which is new, right?
Yep.
And this is interesting because you would not expect Toyota to go there with a minivan, but they went there.
Yeah.
So tell us about this vehicle.
I really like it. So I drove to Indianapolis over the weekend. So I had like 6 hours of driving and 24 hours.
And that's 200 miles each way?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
that's a good drive.
Yeah, it was a good drive. And, you know, the seats are fairly comfortable. I paired my phone wirelessly to Apple CarPlay and, you know, that worked reasonably well. I will say I noticed.
What didn't work?
Today.
Oh.
That, weirdly, when I got into the vehicle, I was like going to the gym this morning and I got into the vehicle and it's like, your phone is not paired. And I was like, yes, it is. And, you know, and then like it was like, retry.
Oh, I thought this was a Tom problem.
No, apparently it's now it's a Toyota problem. But I've never had this happen in any Toyota vehicles other than the Tundra when it first came out and the system was a little bit glitchy.
Let me have a side conversation real quick.
Okay.
I think the world is inundated with crazy Bluetooth everywhere now.
Yeah.
And I think it's harder and harder to get a clear signal. I'm back.
Yeah, and you're back. Okay. It could be. I mean, I was sitting in my garage and there was no Bluetooth around me.
I have this problem in my driveway.
Yeah, but I mean, there was nothing really around me, and so it was just a weird problem to have, and I hadn't had the problem in pretty much any other Toyota vehicle in the last couple of years. And
I have.
It just happened. Like I went a week and it was fine, and then all of a sudden it was like, bam, problem.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit weird. But big screen, you know, the Apple CarPlay fills it out really well.
So in my notes that I lost. The big screen thing is funny. 12.3 inch on every trim level, but base LE.
Mm-hmm.
That gets a little 8 inch. Maybe. The cost difference between those screens is nominal.
Right.
But makers have to defend price points.
Right.
So if you're going to get the base model.
You're going to get an 8 inch.
You're going to get, yeah.
But no, the interior materials are really nice. I think it's attractive because it's a Woodland edition. I don't know why I want to say Woodlawn.
I don't know.
Some really nice mats. Which is apropos of the conversation
we're going to
be having
Mats
later.
Which is a great story. I've been reading about that company today.
Yeah. No, same. And but at any rate, so it's comfortable. It does really well. You know, I feel like my fuel economy has been really good. I haven't looked at the final numbers yet, but it gets more than 400 miles on a tank.
That's the beauty of minivans.
Yeah.
They have big fuel tanks.
Yeah.
And they're not very. They're relatively efficient.
Yeah.
And all Siennas now, hybrid.
Yes.
245 horsepower from the hybrid engine you know and love from everything else that they sell.
Yes.
And it gets the job done. Lots of torque.
It does. You know, my one primary complaint that I had is, and this is going to shock nobody ever who has ever listened to anything I've said, written, or done.
It's cream-filled?
No.
Oh.
I was going to say Apple CarPlay, but that's a different issue for a different vehicle. The wireless charger it doesn't always charge my phone, and I had to like make sure I got it in the right spot. And then once I got it in the right spot, it didn't add charge. So, like, if you actually needed to charge your phone, like, this is not the
Interestingly,
thing for you.
Listed among the changes for the Sienna this year is a higher rate charger.
No. Yeah. I didn't look at the percentage of charge, but you can see where the little green bar is on your phone. So I got in the car with it, like, here, and I got out of the car with it in the same location.
Most of the most of those chargers in most cars are relatively slow.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're using the phone, even for Bluetooth, you're not going to make a lot of headway.
Now,
that said, I was in the Ram RHO over the weekend. That's Ram's high-performance off-road pickup. That charges fast.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Also, it's beautiful because you slot, you can get like three or four phones in that thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a slot forward in the console with a bracket. It almost works like a money clip.
Yep.
If that makes sense.
Yep.
And you just slot your phone in there and you can see it.
Holds it in place.
You can see it upright and it charges. Kudos to Stellantis for that one.
Yeah. But no, I mean, overall, I've enjoyed the minivan. It has really good storage space in the back. I haven't sat in the third row yet, but from the last time I remember, like, it was very comfortable.
So we should talk about the Woodland because it's the most improbable thing to happen to a minivan.
Yeah.
Although they do make off-roady minivans for Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So not Toyota, but manufacturers. So this is interesting. It's a new trim level.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on the XLE.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets an off-roady-ish treatment.
Mm-hmm.
But there is like a legit half-inch lift, so you get more ground clearance. So if you have an old dog, it'll be a little harder for your dog to jump into your van.
Or a mother with a walker.
Standard all-wheel drive.
Right.
Power outlets, two 110-volt outlets in back. And I thought there was something else. And specific floor mats for off-roady, muddy feet people.
Yep.
What an interesting thing. And then there's only three colors. One of them is like the color of my shirt.
Yeah. It's the Nori green, isn't it?
Is
that what they're calling it?
That's a legendary Lexus Toyota color.
I feel like it's like that color.
It's got a little translucence to it. Nice
maybe
color.
Maybe it has a different name in this vehicle, but it's similar to
the Nori. Oh, I thought
Nori
you knew.
Green. No, I think it's similar.
Yeah, one of my favorite Lexus colors was Nori green.
Yeah.
Nori is?
Sushi.
Yeah.
Like the sushi seaweed. Wrapper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, since we are both wearing green, we should say Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yes. Irish people everywhere, we love you.
Thank you.
All right.
I will take all that love.
Are you Irish and Italian?
I am.
Wow.
I know my mom's Irish, my dad was Italian.
How does anyone deal with you?
I don't know. I could ask you that question because you deal with me every week.
One of the funniest things, if we're just going to talk about completely unrelated things, Patty Vasquez hosts a radio show here in Chicago on WCPT, is half Mexican and half Irish and is somehow not Catholic. I'm just throwing that out. She was raised Mormon. Statistical improbability.
That is intriguing.
Yeah.
That is very. I am in fact Catholic.
Of course.
Yeah, and the reason why I went to Indianapolis this weekend was to take my mom to church. What a good daughter am I?
I guess good.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to the Sienna.
Okay.
Yeah, but Sienna, one of the rare minivans. The Chrysler is available with all-wheel drive or hybrid.
Mm.
You can get all-wheel drive and hybrid on the Sienna.
Yes.
Which is pretty cool, and you can now get a hybrid Carnival. In fact, I have one coming next week.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet, but I feel like they introduced it in Chicago last year, maybe?
Maybe they did, yeah. Yeah, but they're out there now. They get great mileage. But here's the interesting, too. 36 mpg.
Mm-hmm.
That's the EPA number on an all-wheel, or 35 with all-wheel drive, which is, that's pretty good for a minivan.
Yeah, and I haven't looked at my final mpgs, but I will say that, I drove 200 miles, and I, like, debated filling up when I was in Indianapolis, but I have to turn the car in tomorrow, and I'm like, I can't do that
Almost out of time here. Just real quick, ride quality?
Good.
Highway noise levels?
A little bit loud, I would say.
A little bit loud?
It's a little bit noisy.
That is where the Chrysler kicks butt.
Yeah.
It is super quiet and super nice riding.
Yeah, I listen to podcasts when I drive for that distance, and I had to crank up the audio.
Do you listen to our podcast?
No.
You should.
I don't want to listen to my voice.
I'm very funny. That's why I think you'd really enjoy it.
Because you're hilarious.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can only handle so many laughs.
Yeah.
And I laugh so loud during the once a week on Monday that we meet.
And then finally, the thing where Sienna sort of trails, interior materials quality.
Yeah, there's some plastic stuff.
Yeah, because the Carnival, very nice. The Chrysler over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not seen a Honda Odyssey in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute.
Yeah, but the Honda Odyssey 2 probably still claims best drivetrain if you want a sporty thing.
Yeah.
Because it's still a big old V6.
Yep.
All right. We should take a break here. We're going to talk to Jeff Allwine of Cocoa Mats. And you think we're just talking about mats? You're wrong. This is going to be a great conversation.
Awesome.
We'll be right back.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com.
I'm Robert Colangelo, host of The Green Sense Show. Every week, we feature groundbreaking innovations from energy and agriculture to smart cities and sustainable transportation. We interview experts working to create a cleaner, greener future. One of my favorite segments is Green Automotive News with auto expert Tom Appel. We test drive and review the latest EVs, hybrids, and ultra-efficient cars. Visit greensenseshow.com or listen to The Green Sense Minute on 105.9 WBBM Chicago.
Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
Bless you.
Thank you. I just sneezed.
We just missed that sneeze.
I know.
So I had to call it out. I didn't want to lose it.
You'll catch it on the video.
Yeah. This is the Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom. She's Jill. Tell us about the video real quick.
So I've been taking the podcast that we're doing. I'm recording video right now with some external mics, and then I've been piecing it together with our the middle segment with our guests from the audio from the station, and piecing it all together and putting it out. So there's our chatter during the breaks, before we go live, after we sign off. And so you get to see what we look like.
Yeah, I have a delightful middle age thing going on.
Delightful?
I'm charming looking.
So you're going to live to 300?
No, probably not.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, so it's
70 seems like a long shot at this point.
It's on my YouTube channel. And I'm a little bit behind in posting this week. I think I just posted the February 10th episode. Yeah. So,
but everyone should subscribe.
Yes, please subscribe to me on YouTube. And then you can catch our podcast and see us live.
There you go.
Every week.
We're super popular.
Well, not live, but see us.
Yeah. All right. Yes. Help me out here real quick.
So from my YouTube to your social media.
Yes.
You look at me like I'm a speaking.
No, you never do anything that quickly. I was waiting for more words.
No, I'm introing.
I am Car Guy Tom on Blue Sky and Twitter. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Twitter X.
And X-Twitter.
A fantastic collection of CarSpotter, #CarSpotter finds from the weekend.
Yeah, you know, we have a very interesting car on my street right now that I need to go take a picture of. It's like an old Ford wagony thing with the retro stripes. It's very interesting. I don't even know what it is.
Woody? Is it Woody?
No.
Oh, retro stripes?
Yeah.
That could be like a Pinto.
Yeah.
And I forgot what that was called.
But it's
like
not
the sport
like a
wagon?
Little, yeah, it's longer. Yeah.
Well, then I don't know what it is.
I don't know, but it's not, yeah.
All right, send me a picture.
Yeah.
All right, we are talking mats for the first time ever.
Yes.
And this is going to be an interesting conversation. On the phone with us is Jeff Allwine of Cocoa Mats. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for making the time. Jeff, I shot you a bunch of emails over the weekend. I apologize for that. I don't normally try to make people do work over the weekend.
Yes, you do. You make me work on the weekend all the time.
That's you, your co-host. Oh. But Jeff, tell us a little bit about Cocoa Mats and what you do there.
Oh, we make floor mats for cars, and they're a woven auto mat that was originally developed in the 1950s by a Porsche, Mercedes, BMW to go over the rubber on the floor. So originally cars had rubber on the floor. You probably don't remember that because that was a long time ago. But they did, and then they had these cocoa mats that were to go on top of it, and they were a woven mat, so the dirt filtered through the top of them, and they looked beautiful, and they just worked. And they were kind of the rave up through the 70s, and then 80s, they kind of went out of style, and carpet came in, and then lately it's been McNeil WeatherTex. I mean, everybody has WeatherTex in their cars versus having style like what we can do.
I think that's a great point, because WeatherTex, we're going to give them the appropriate shout-out. Very high-quality stuff, but I wouldn't say that it's particularly classy or interesting to look at. Mm-mm. It's just durable.
Yep.
And it's not...
It's durable.
Yeah, and it's not inexpensive.
No, that's true. But they're made in the USA, and so it's a good product. It's a good company, and... But you look on the floor and it looks like a garage floor. It's
right.
Not a nice. But if you get something that does the same job, but looks classy and looks retro and looks, some people call these timeless because they've been around for so long that they just, once you get them, they just go in there. And I've had customers that call me and say, Jeff, sometimes I just go sit in my car just to give me that feel when I was a kid again. And so it's nice. You can do that to somebody else.
I am liking the mats a lot, and I'm looking at the pictures, and your website's excellent. You've got a history of the company there, too, I want to get to. But especially the checkerboard pattern stuff is classy as heck. And it's really easy to imagine something like a late 60s or early 70s Porsche 911 with these mats on the ground, or maybe something like a 123 series Mercedes. And you're like, this is classy. This is cool stuff.
Yes.
Now, you have a great story about how you got started in this. Tell us that story.
Well, I was in real estate development for many years in Calabasas, California, and I decided I wanted to get out of it and get into something else. So I was working with my father-in-law for a little while, and he was importing men's suits and their shirts out of India and overseas. But I was supposed to get a shirt in the mail, and I got a piece of cocoa mesh fiber. Now, when I was a kid, somehow DHL switched the inside of the package. I have absolutely no idea how it happened, but my shirt went to England, and I got the package in Agoura Hills, which was actually my mother-in-law's house. She lived by herself, so I thought I'd take over the house in the garage with the cocoa mat company. But anyway, that's another whole story. But we got this package by mistake, and I did some research, and I had some cocoa mats when I was a kid and some Porsches. But I thought, well, let's see if this is something that we can do. And I did some research and found that nobody was doing them at the time and thought, hey, this could be a good business. And that was 30 years ago. It's been a long time now, but it's been a fun ride, and I did it with my wife, and the kids have been in the business, and I still have two of them that are still in the business with me. So it's been a nice story.
So talk about why cocoa fiber is important. My wife has a scarf that I bought her a couple of Christmases ago that is made out of coconut fiber, and it's a beautiful scarf, but it's a very different thing, ultimately, than the floor mats. What is it about cocoa fiber that works so well here?
Well, cocoa fibers are environmentally, that's the first thing. They've been around for hundreds of years. They've used them, in fact, in Europe a lot more than they did here back in the early days. And so they're hand-woven. They beat them by hand. It comes from the husk of a coconut. And they put them in these lagoons, and every salt water comes in, and then this fresh water, so it gives it this enzyme. And then they beat them get the husks out, and they spin them into yarn. And then weave them into, in our case, they weave them into mats. And it's just a nice, durable, for the floor of a car, at the time it was fantastic. And it still is. And that's how they're made.
Yeah, these applications look good. And I'm looking at the pictures on your website. And I noticed that, and I had a question for you about this. You guys do a lot for classic cars, and then you're doing new cars as well. Are you catering more to classic car owners or to new car owners?
Well, classic cars is where they came from. So originally, in fact, I don't know if there's a video with Jay Leno that we did, and he was talking about how the Germans and Europeans like to have these classic cars, classic mats, and the Americans, they like to just have a carpet with the word Ford on it or Chevy on it, but the Europeans are a little bit different. And I forgot where I was going with that, but it's... what were we talking about there? The question is...
It is Monday.
We were wondering if you were catering more to classic car buyers or new car buyers.
So we were talking about that. We've done several of his classic cars in his car, but that's where we really started because that's where they were. So that's where the market was when we got into this to begin with. In fact, another funny story is that when I first started, I thought, man, this is going to be great. Continuation of, getting the package and all that. And so we bought some mats from a company called Emery up in Oregon that had some of these old mats. And we realized it's a great business, but we didn't have any patterns whatsoever. And now we have about, 10,000 patterns. So when we first started, we didn't have no Porsche patterns, no Mercedes patterns, no BMW patterns. And I thought, wow, this is going to be a great business, but we needed to get all those patterns. So over the years, it's just... You can't do anything without patterns. And we first started trying to do a universal mat, but everybody wants it to fit and contour to their particular car. So it was just one of those pumps in the road that we had to overcome.
So you say that people want it for their particular car. So can people custom order? If you have like a 2016 like Volkswagen GTI, and you'd say, this is what I have, can I custom order? Or if you have like a Honda Civic or a Toyota Crown, I'm looking at the vehicles that are popping up on the website behind Tom at the moment and just naming them. So like a Nissan Kicks, like if I have a Nissan Kicks, can I call you and say, hey, I have a 2024 Nissan Kicks, can I get cocoa mats?
Yes, 9 out of 10 times we will have that pattern.
Great.
Some of the older ones, the one-offs, the crazy ones that not very many cars were built, we don't do. We just did a 959 Porsche, which is another $1.5 million car, but we've had the pattern for that. And yeah, over these years, we've gotten all these patterns. And what we used to do, it used to be on paper. So we'd take the paper, we'd cut it off of the hanger and lay it down and trace it on there and then cut it out by hand. Now we use a digitized, you know, we digitize all the patterns when they come in, and it goes into a computer, and it's all cut out by a CNC machine, which is just absolutely wonderful because it's all perfect every single time that we do it. It even cuts out grommets if we need it. And so, yeah, and most cars, I would say more than 9 out of 10, probably 9.8 out of 10, we have patterns for them. And if we don't, we send paper out, and we ask the customer to send their mats in, and we trace them, and then we just make the match from that.
Jeff, I can make you cringe.
Okay, I'm ready.
My father, my father, whom I just lost, unfortunately, but he was not a car guy. Thank you. Yeah, he was into cars in that he took care of them. Okay. And he learned how to take care of them. Mm-hmm. But he regarded waxing a car as a ridiculous waste of time and money. Just so you got understood my dad's position on cars.
Okay.
And the car I learned to drive on, without my dad knowing it, was a 1974 Plymouth Valiant. And this vehicle, it had been white.
Uh-huh.
It was painted yellow by Earl Scheib, which means that the door jams were still white. The interior was kind of black. And I remember one day my dad was mad about a puddle in the car. So we drove to Kmart.
Mm-hmm.
Where he bought off-the-shelf blue floor mats.
Ooh.
And I think they were like $14 or something. And they were durable enough, no-name brand. They were hanging on a rack. He used to buy like floor mats like that, and they didn't fit anything.
No.
So we had a yellow and white car with a black interior and blue floor mats. So that's how bad the floor mat thing can get. So if you want the opposite of cocoa mats, it was my dad's
right.
Variant.
Okay.
And that happens a lot. Just to hear that Earl Scheib, I haven't heard that name in a long time, but that when I was growing up, that's who you'd go to get your car. But you're right. They didn't. All they did was paint the outside.
Yep.
That's the thing they did.
Yeah, door jams were way extra.
$29.95, I think. Is that
it was for a while. We paid
$99.95
in the mid-70s. Oh, man. So, so you guys have been doing this since 1996. What has changed most?
Well, we've added some other products. Everybody does blue mats. You know, it's just something that some people like a different particular material. So we've gone into and done recycled mats, we do fishing nets and the recycled nylon comes out of Italy, and we call it Eco. We do a woven vinyl, which we actually get made for us here in the U.S. and out of Alabama. So we tried to spin off and do other lines besides. We do a sisal line. We do a seagrass. So some people, you know, like the environmental part of it, but it's just seagrass, and it's pretty cool. Doesn't wear as good as the other stuff, but they don't care because it just looks nice and it smells nice. And so we tried to, since that time, not just do cocoa mats, but do other mats and make somebody happy in other ways, you know, that they can look on the floor and go, hey, you know, my car is not just a blue mat down there that's dirty with my Earl Scheib paint job, but it's a really nice, really nice looking, you know, mat that you get in your car and you're proud of. In fact, we've had guys, the one guy that called and said, hey, you got a new Mercedes. And the guy came up to his car and he said, hey, where'd you get the mats? Not, hey, where'd you get this, you know, fantastic car? But where'd you get those mats in your car? So that gives us a kick, too, as well.
So I noticed.
Put a lot of happy faces.
I noticed, too, you guys are doing lamb's wool mats. And I assume, tell me if I'm wrong, those are mostly going into British stuff.
We did the lamb's wool mat for Myers Manx. We were doing some mats for Myers Manx. And somebody wanted a lamb's wool, so we're doing that. But it's it's not something that we'd want to do, but that would be a perfect for British,
right.
You know, British car. But and we bring the rubber in from Thailand, so it has a nib, so we can adhere it and put it in the lamb's wool. But it was, that was kind of a special order for them.
That's crazy. Tell, for people who don't know, which is almost everybody, mm-hmm. Tell us what a Myers Manx is.
Well, that was the way I know about it. It was the Steve McQueen movie with the Thomas Crown Affair, where Faye Dunaway and him were on the beach. You know, with the dune buggy, and it's a dune buggy. It's a kid car.
Yeah.
That you can. But now they're making them electric. They got an EV one coming out, and they were bought out. He sold in the business before he passed away. Can't remember his name. Myers. It was Myers. I don't remember his first name.
Uh-huh.
But they sold it. So it's somebody's redoing it. They're doing a really good job. And like I said, they're doing electric and they do the kits and now they're making the mats. I mean, the actual cars, 100% of the cars themselves. So you can buy a Myers Manx already built where it used to be. You just have to buy the kit.
Yep.
they buy the, you know, the freight and all the stuff that goes with it.
And then you had to find a trash Beetle.
Yes, exactly right. And but they're still doing it. People are still buying them.
Yeah,
they're still doing the kits. And then, and they're also using those Beetles. We do a lot of the old Porsches, and they're fiberglass on a Beetle chassis. So it's funny. Sometimes we'll get a call in there. We get, the guy will say, you know, I've got a 57 Porsche 356. And so we'll send him out a set of mats. We learned from this lesson, though. We send him out a set of mats. He says, these don't fit.
Oh, no.
So he's got a Volkswagen. You know, it's about a third of the fourth the price of what the, you know, the,
oh,
new,
that's
the
hilarious.
Would be. So, yeah. And now, from now on, we've always said, look, at, you know, is it a real Porsche? Or is it sometimes it bothers people, but that's just what you got to do, because they're a totally different pattern.
Yeah, that's funny, too, because that's the reason there are no Volkswagen Beetles left. They sold millions of them in the U.S., but they all got turned into other things or used as parts cars for other cars.
It's true. It's the same problem with the 964 Porsche, where Singer and all these companies are turning them into the retro-looking, older, earlier 911 look, and you just can't get them anymore. So you're competing with all the with beautiful cars.
Jeff, we're going to have to have you back and just talk old cars, because I have a lot of feelings about things like the Singer 911. But we're running out of time here. Tell us about how people can order Coco mats.
Website is www.cocomats.com, COCOMATS.com. Lots of information. You know, we can send out swatches. We got a really good customer service side that really is very helpful. And we want to make sure that whatever mat, in fact, we'll have people that call in and want a certain swatch. We'll include other ones because we think, man, we think that they would probably like this. And most of the time it works out that we hit them right, get them with the right swatch.
Yeah, I forgot to mention, your online reviews are excellent.
Thank you. Well, we try to take care of people. Like I said, we're trying to make people happy, and not just, again, go back to that blue mat in the bottom of it. We're trying to get people to say, hey, we can add some class to my car and a timeless look, and hopefully we're doing it.
Well, that's very cool. It's good to see quality still out there someplace. Jeff, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you guys very much for having me, and happy St. Pat's Day.
Happy St. Pat's Day. All right, that was Jeff Allwine with Coco Mats. We're going to take a break, and when we come back...
Quiz time.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com. Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
And we're back. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom. She's Jill. You were going to mention something real quick.
Yeah, you know, when I was just mentioning during the break that when I was Googling Coco Mats, like a whole bunch of other things came up. So you definitely, if you're looking for this, make sure you type in the COCOMATS.
25 years ago, if you walked up to your mother and said, Mom, I'm Googling Coco Mats, what would she assume you were doing?
Flashing them? I don't know.
Maybe yoga?
No, was yoga a thing back then?
Downward barking llama or something?
I don't know. Googling. I don't know.
We're going to get to the quiz in a second. I forgot my notes, as I mentioned earlier, so I have recreated the quiz from memory during commercial breaks.
So this should be interesting.
It should be interesting. No, actually, I think I got it.
Okay.
All right. You're on social media. I've heard.
I am.
And
so,
heard.
So in addition to the YouTube channel that I mentioned earlier, I'm also on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Threads, Blue Sky, X Twitter. I'm on, as I like to say, all the things. And you can find me at Jill Simonello or using the hashtag CarDuJour. I've even downloaded Red Note and Lemon 8, although I don't understand either of those very much, so I don't post there very often.
The single social media phenomenon that interests me remotely and I need to look into is Reddit. Because it invites conversation.
It does.
A lot of it's very bad.
Yeah, and
But yet there is, the conversation is more related. It's not just like you post a picture of a Ford and then someone posts Ford suck.
Yeah.
Which gets old pretty quickly.
Yeah, and I, like, every 7 years or so, I'm
Fords
like,
don't suck, by the way.
I dip into Reddit, and I'm like, yeah, I still don't see the use case of it for me.
What I don't see is the continuity I want. Like, a question will be asked.
Yeah.
And then it'll be answered once or twice. And then all of a sudden, it appears that a different question
Yes.
Is being answered after, and I'm very confused.
And if the question is answered, it might not be the right answer.
Oh, yeah. There's no guarantee.
So I just...
But Google AI is just as bad.
Oh, well,
nearly as bad.
Google AI is eating up Reddit. Like, when we talk about the Google unhelpful content update that happened a couple of years ago that basically subverted, like, small publishers' content. And, but what it did is it, like, elevated Reddit and Quora and forums and things like that, user-generated content, and...
It makes terrible logic flaws, too.
Yeah.
If someone just looks up 1979, like it's 1979 Pontiac Trans Am specs,
mm-hmm.
you will get an AI cloud there at the top.
Yep, yep.
And it is mostly wrong. It knows that there was an engine that was 6.6 liters, but mm-hmm. it interchanges. There were two different engines. One was a 400, one was a 403. Very different beasts.
Yeah.
And it gets them wrong.
Yeah.
And well, if you didn't know, you wouldn't... walk away smarter.
Yeah, when it's really funny because I posted a video on the Kia Telluride on my TikTok channel last week and talked about how it didn't have wireless Apple CarPlay, and I was in one of the top line trims and somebody commented, well, Google says all trims of the Kia Telluride have wireless Apple CarPlay. And I was like, Google is wrong. Dig deeper. I'm like, you're looking at the AI version, because I Googled it then, and then I looked at the AI version, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's wrong.
Well, the AI version also is a tragic, really, it's just tragic theft of independent people posting stuff.
Yeah.
Because it'll grab your information and just use it.
Yeah, I
without
mean,
credit
it
sometimes.
Will, it, off to the side, it will show the links it used to pull that information. So you should actually click on those links and dig deeper and see if the information is correct.
You could use Google AI incorrectly for the quiz today if you wanted.
So you are telling me we are done talking about social media and you would like to move on to the quiz.
That is exactly what I'm saying.
Got it. Subtly.
Right.
You were very subtle about it.
Today's quiz topic is, which is premium-er?
Premium-er. Okay.
I'm going to give you two models or two trim levels from the same model, from the same manufacturer.
Okay.
If they were sold at the same time, you just have to tell me which one was the more premium model.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
All right. I got five of them here. Five questions plus the bonus question. Bonus question always related to the topic of the day.
Got it.
Which means it should be like Irish stuff.
Maybe.
It's not.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? Sort of.
Okay. It's certainly not about donuts, since you didn't bring donuts today.
No. What do we got? Scones?
Yeah.
And a poppy seed? Wow, you seem disappointed.
I'm, you know.
Wow, free snacks.
There's no cinnamon.
Oh, no, there isn't.
I like cinnamon. Cinnamon scone would have been good.
Number one. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Pontiac.
Mm-hmm.
If these vehicles were sold at the same time, which one was the premium trim level?
Mm-hmm.
Catalina, Bonneville.
Mm.
Technically, those are separate models.
Now, they were both Pontiac. So I'm like trying to understand the gist of the quiz. So they were both Pontiacs.
Yes, they were.
Sold at different times.
Nope, sold at the same time. They would have overlapped. If I'm asking the question, they overlapped.
Okay, so they overlapped.
So they were sold on the same showroom. One of them would have cost a lot more than the other.
I don't know what the Catalina is. I'm going to say Bonneville was more.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, the Catalina, the Bonneville, I'm just going to go to 1977 when GM redesigned its B-body big sedans and coupes.
Okay.
The Catalina was the base trim level,
mm-hmm.
really base model, and the Bonneville, same car but upper trim level. You have 1 point. All right, basically same question, Impala Caprice.
Hmm. 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 So funny story about the Caprice.
There is a Caprice story?
For me.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. My college boyfriend used to drive a Caprice, and we called it the Caprice.
That is hilarious.
That is the extent of my funny story.
I am going to wake up tonight laughing.
I know.
Yeah.
It'll be delayed laughter.
I had a friend who had a Chevette that he referred to as the Vet.
Well.
And then when you saw it, he referred to it as the She-Vet, which is sexist now, but was really funny in 1982.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
And Paula Caprice, you're stalling.
I am stalling because I don't know what they would have been to each other. In this case,
it's the exact same thing as Catalina Bonneville.
Yeah.
Like, there was the same models, same platform.
Okay.
GM's big B-body. Very successful.
So I do know the Caprices at one time were cop cars, I believe.
Uh-huh.
That to me does not say premium.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say Impala.
Is the more premium. No, actually, it's Caprice. And there were a lot of Impala cop cars, and they looked exactly the same. So All right, you have 1 point moving forward, but these were incredibly successful. General Motors downsized its big cars for 1977, and they were very streamlined, very angular, very clean looking, and yet they still looked big. It was an incredibly successful downsizing, and they sold hundreds of thousands of these bad boys.
Okay.
But the Impala Coupe was famously available the first model year, and I think the next model year, with like this bent glass in back. There was no pillar. Mm-hmm. The glass just seamed itself around the back. Gorgeous.
Okay.
You wouldn't think a big coupe would be attractive, but it certainly was. All right, you have 1 point. Le Sabre Electra over at Buick. These were entirely different models, by the way, but they were sold at the same time.
Okay, so I don't know the Electra, but I remember my dad had Le Sabres as his company car.
That is such a company car.
Like, forever.
Yeah.
Until he got...
Also, that would be a good company car.
Yeah.
Roomy.
Yeah, it was very
kinda
roomy.
Kind of nice.
Yeah. But he had Le Sabres until he got a Chrysler Concorde.
Oh.
Yeah.
Front drive, probably the LH. Okay.
Yeah. But he loved the Buicks. You said Electra?
Le Sabre and Electra.
I mean...
Electra being the name that they were planning to bring back for their electric vehicles, though I don't know where that's at now.
Right.
Haven't heard anything about that in a while.
Because I feel like the Park Avenue was above the Le Sabre. So I would have to say Le Sabre is more premium.
No. Oh. And in fact, sometimes it was Park Avenue Electra.
Okay.
And later on, the Electra just became the Park Avenue.
Okay.
Yeah. Le Sabre was on the B-body chassis in the 70s and into the 80s. The Electra was the C-body along with the Cadillac DeVille. Mm. All right. You're in trouble now. You need to get two of the next three. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
LTD Crown Victoria. These are Fords, big Fords. I went all full size.
Whoa. Yeah. And you know, and I don't know what the LTD is. I know what the Crown Vic is, also a cop car.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what the LTD is.
Kind of replace the Galaxy. I know that's helpful.
Don't know what the Galaxy is.
The Galaxy misspelled.
Was it IE?
Yeah. Mm. Things that make editors mad.
The thing that's making me mad right now is the spelling of Zelensky's last name. Does it have one Y or two Ys?
Yes. Yes, you want to go way off topic?
Sure.
Muammar Gaddafi.
Okay.
Someone once wrote to The Straight Dope, which was a column in the Chicago Reader, about Muammar Gaddafi's spelling of his own name.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like 30 different examples of it. And then one day he wrote a letter himself to like the White House, signed it himself, and it was a spelling no one had ever seen before. So Muammar Gaddafi.
Got it.
Dead and difficult to spell name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
LTD
and Crown Vic.
Right. Galaxy is not in there at all.
No.
You know, I'm probably going to be wrong, but I'm going to go with Crown Vic based on the Caprice conversation.
Yes. These cars came out for 1979, the same downsizing trend we were talking about. LTD was the car, and then Crown Vic was a premium trim level. It would later become its own model. Mm-hmm. So, all right, you have 2 points.
Okay.
You're in good shape. Mm. Finally, New Yorker or Newport? These were Chryslers, big Chryslers.
I don't know what the Newport is. Yeah, so I knew what one of these cars was all the way through.
Well, that's good.
But didn't know what the other one is, so I don't know how to compare.
These cars are from a very strange time when every Chrysler was a big car.
Hmm.
Chrysler did not cave in to building compact or mid-sized cars, even during the gas crisis.
So you said Newport.
Do you know what the first small Chrysler was that they called a small Chrysler?
Mm.
The Cordoba.
Cordoba.
Yeah, 1975.
Lejana Isola.
Yeah. Can.
Luna Grande. Y aceitunas en mi alfajor.
I don't know what you're saying.
I had to memorize this poem in Spanish, and it was Cordoba.
And Isola. It was about Ricardo Montalban?
No.
That would be a cool poem.
It was about Cordoba.
I would recite a poem about Ricardo Montalban.
Got it. Isn't he the one that's better to look good than to feel good?
No.
And you know, I feel like we've had this conversation before. Okay. Okay. What are the cars again?
This episode is going. See, this is what happens when you lose your notes. New Yorker or Newport?
I'm going to say New Yorker.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the Newport was kind of a mainstream premium car, like right priced between Oldsmobile and Buick at the time. Chrysler was priced more Mercury and maybe like a Buick Electra kind of top end, almost Cadillac-y.
Okay.
And then for a while, Chrysler was selling an Imperial. That was sometimes a model, sometimes a trim level, sometimes it was a separate brand. Very confusing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you've gotten all three. You've won.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we asked the bonus question just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
1966, the show The Monkees debuted.
Is that the year you were also born?
No, I was born a year before that.
Okay.
And the Monkees, of course, known as the Prefab Four because they were a band.
They were the Monkees.
Yes, that's them.
Mm-hmm.
But they were formed by outside powers. So it's not like the Beatles were the Fab Four.
Right.
They were the Prefab Four. Very funny.
Prefab Four.
I just need you to tell me which of the following is actually a monkey.
Okay.
I'm going to name four guys.
Okay.
One of them's a monkey.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Ginger Baker.
Okay.
That's the Irish thing. That sounds like an Irish name.
So you're saying that there are four names, but only one of them was a monkey.
Yep.
Okay.
Ginger Baker, Peter Tork, Cab Calloway, Peter Marshall.
It's one of the Peters. I'm pretty sure.
All right. Here, you can look at my notes.
No. I mean, I
my
know
useless,
it's not
illegible notes.
Peter Tork. And so what? Yeah. What? Ginger what?
Baker.
And then what's this one? Cab Calloway?
Cab Calloway.
And then Peter Marshall?
Peter Marshall. Looking for a member of the Monkees.
I'm going to say Peter Tork.
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 Yeah. See, I thought you wouldn't go for that one because it sounds car-ish.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Huh?
Congratulations. Ginger Baker, the famous drummer for, who was that? Cream. For Cream. Yeah. Peter Tork was with the Monkees. Cab Calloway, legendary jazz musician from the Cotton Club age.
Okay.
And Peter Marshall was the host of Hollywood Squares.
Okay, so another funny story.
Uh-huh.
They used to play the Monkees on Nickelodeon as reruns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find that show unwatchable.
I loved it as a kid.
The interesting, too, was the Monkey Mobile, relatively famous creation by Barris. Barris was a custom car guy.
Okay.
Often spelled custom car with a K. But that was a
not to be confused with crazy, cars for kids with a K.
Crazy three-row convertible based on the Pontiac GTO.
Okay.
And I think that car, I don't know where it lives now, but it's very, very collectible.
Hmm.
So, yeah, George Barris, famous. Famous for his custom creations.
Got it.
All right. There you go. Nice job. Oh, I can sign this for you. I'll do that here. Tom. There you go.
I got four, including the bonus.
Yeah, and it looked bad. It looked like you were going to go bad.
I have to keep things interesting because, you know, just.
We're probably coming up on a time where you should quiz me again.
Hmm.
Because my record's 100%. You don't want that to stand.
Have I ever quizzed you?
Yeah, once.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah, just the one time. And I can't remember the circumstances. Was Damon here?
Oh, it was
here?
Like April Fool's Day, I bet.
Was that what it was?
I think it probably was.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
What's the Sadie Hawkins Day?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you can ask me to go to Wendy's or something like that.
Okay, I drink the Pepsi, you drink the electrolytes.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. So I we've got a couple minutes here left, and I'm still lamenting the Tesla story. And one of the things, and I know we talked a little bit about this last week, but first of all vandalism is bad.
Yes.
But you are actually defeating the purpose of the green movement by setting Tesla charging stations on fire. But because the current administration has stopped funding the development of charging stations
mm-hmm.
and unplugged charging stations on federal ground,
right.
We really need the Tesla network.
Yeah, we do.
Which has been opened up to other manufacturers.
Right.
And almost everyone's going to be using it because that's now the new agreed upon standard.
Right.
So you're not really helping anybody by setting a charging station on fire. Plus, you're making a lot of bad smoke.
Yeah. We don't need any more bad smoke. I mean, I tell you, I didn't have asthma until I moved to Chicago, and I'm convinced it's the pollution that is giving me issues.
Is Chicago considered polluted?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Like, I literally never read that.
I mean, it's a city.
It is a city.
I'm like, cities are polluted.
When I was a child, and when we used to talk about smog in L.A., Chicago had gotten away from electric buses.
Okay.
But there used to be, when I was young, buses in Chicago were powered by electricity that hung over the streets.
Mm.
And there used to be
these things that would extend up to get to the electricity on the top, like scaffolding, kind of like, but they went to diesel, and the diesels were obviously more mobile. They could go off the track, but they were filthy.
Yeah.
And they would take off. The problem with diesels, too, is when they start off right away, they kick up a bunch of smoke. And we don't talk enough about that word. And actually, this gets us to a topic I want to get to. But on Autoline, they recently talked about one of the tire makers measuring particulate that comes off of tires. And particulate isn't traditional pollution. Mm-hmm. It's literally small crap that ends up in the air.
Right.
And it makes it very hard to breathe. And particulate comes off of brakes, diesel engines, the black smoke you see. It's not necessarily poisonous generally, but it's black crap in the air. You don't want to breathe. So,
especially if you have asthma.
But the big challenge now, especially as we go to electric cars, is particulate that comes off of tires.
Mm-hmm.
And tires do wear, and there was some number that was wrong. They said 3 million pounds. That seems low of tire particulate that ends up in the environment every year. That never seems very low to me, but it's still too much stuff to have flying off into the air. So tires are the next great, I think, environmental challenge. If cars go electric, they're much cleaner.
Right.
But electric cars do burn through tires more quickly.
Yep.
So a problem, a conundrum.
Right. Well, and it's a hot topic right now outside of automotive industry to talk about microplastics.
Yes.
All of this is contributing to the fact that we now have microplastics in our liver.
Yeah, that's the weird. It's a funny thing. This is way, way, way off automotive topics, but someone in my house, my wife, my daughter, uses some sort of facial scrub
with the little microbeads.
Yeah,
microplastics.
That's the stuff.
That's the stuff
that ends up in fish and our livers, and yeah, so that's not good.
You should throw that away.
I haven't seen it in months. I have no idea.
Maybe they have used that product and they are moving on to something else that is more environmentally friendly.
But we are moving on, to your point, we are moving on to different things that can be done to make the environment healthier. And one of them will probably be stuff we can do for brakes, because brakes kick up a bunch of stuff you don't want to breathe, and tires.
Yep.
There you go.
Okay.
Guess what we did?
I feel like we talked too much.
We did, without my notes.
Although, well done.
I did find some notes that I got to too late.
Right.
I could just mention this real quick. The Pacifica. Ranges in price from $45,000 to $62,000 base price, and the Sienna from $41,000 to $58,000.
Okay.
All right. Well, big thanks to Jeff Allwine of Cocomass for joining us today. Thank you, Jill. Thanks to producer Randy and the good folks here at TalkZone. Let's talk TalkZone.
Yes.
TalkZone.
TalkZone.
Let's talk more about cars again next week.
Yes.
Remember to check us out at consumerguide.com.
The Car Stuff Podcast is produced by J-Turn Media.
To advertise on the show, please drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.